Hi, David. Welcome to the Money Signal Podcast.
What a pleasure and a privilege it is to be here. Thank you so much for giving me a platform to hopefully share some insight and utilizing the dummy tax, how I've been made from mistakes. So thanks for having me here.
It's such an honor to have you here. When I read your bio and I was studying more about your life and your story, I was absolutely amazed by everything that you've been through. From CEO to bankruptcy to now inspiration and passing on the good to a billion people.
Over, don't limit me.
Over a billion people. I don't want to butcher your bio, but I do want to share it with our viewers and listeners in the way that I actually read it.
Sure.
So I first and foremost had heard about you from my co-host, Peter Tuckman, who couldn't be here today. But he had said several very key things that kind of stuck in my mind about you. The first one was that you, of course, were a Hollywood inspiration in the form of the movie Jerry Maguire, which I absolutely had no idea about. That was, of course, like the Hollywood element always grabs people's attention.
Yeah.
So I thought, my goodness, that's such an interesting story to think about, that you're actually behind the story. Then he continued sharing more about your biography and your life. And then he mentioned that you actually had built this whole big sporting and entertainment agency and then went to bankruptcy, which then my mind instantly went, what happened? How come? And then he said that you had almost like an inspirational rebirth. And that's your current and present mission, which is to inspire over a billion people and make the world a better place. Did I get
Of course, you know, of course, it's a long life and a lot happened. But, you know, growing up poor in Akron, Ohio with a single mom had a great impact by watching my mother. I'm one of those kids that probably never listened to their mom, but I watched her. I watched her work two jobs, one as a second grade teacher, packing all of our dinners in a paper bag, driving us around in a Country Squire station wagon and watching her fill up turnstiles at convenience stores with greeting cards just so we could eat. Although I didn't listen to her, watching her was a great blessing because she was a great parent. She was a great community. She worked for women's rights. When my dad left her at five, he cheated on her. When I was five, she couldn't get a credit card because you needed a man to co-sign. And so she went to the city council to speak to the state senate to try to work for the rights of women and equality of women. These are the kind of things I watched. Although, once again, it's ironic, but, you know, I didn't listen, which is probably why the irony of life, the force versus counterforce, you know, why God gave me three daughters who have no problem getting credit and spending my money on their credit cards. So thank you, Mom, very much.
That's incredibly inspiring. And I actually love hearing about strong women, especially back in the day when she was raising you and the difficulties she had to face. So I'm actually from Bulgaria. I'm not sure whether you're aware. I moved to the States at age 20 on my own. And I just became a citizen, which I'm very proud of. Thank you very much.
I'm very proud of you as well. That's a great honor.
Thank you. And hearing about the women who create, again, the next generation of fighters and people who fight for the better and who change the world is incredibly important to me.
Well, good. I'm glad. And part of empowering people is, for me, the ability to teach them how to make a lot of money for the sake of helping a lot of people and having a lot of fun. And it's a calling. And I'm not someone who, on a religious perspective, would tell you that God calls on people. But when God called on me, my whole perspective changed. And it's been over 18 years that I've been on it, that mission to empower people like you, to empower others, to empower others. So the biggest challenge of empowering over a billion people is, how do you get to a billion people? I'm not Kim Kardashian. I'm not going to have a billion followers. I'm just not that talented or good looking. But I do have the power to influence like 1,000 people like you or Peter, who Peter will empower 1,000 to empower 1,000. So if you do the math, it was overwhelming or almost to me embarrassing to tell people I was going to empower over a billion people and change the world. But once I realized the Richard Dolans of the world, the Peter Tuchmans of the world, the Jim Quicks of the world, the Tom Bilyeus, the Ed Milettes, the Andrew Cordles of the world, that those people are already empowering 1,000 to empower 1,000. All I needed to do was feed them these dummy tacks that I've learned from making mistakes, which is why I've branded myself as Made From Mistakes, to help people know that you're not going to get there without making mistakes.
And mistakes are an important part of the journey, right?
It is the journey to me. It's how you look at those mistakes, the meaning that you give mistakes.
And we analyze signals here on this podcast. I wondered, again, as I was getting prepared for this interview, I was wondering if you had a signal back in the day, which was like a red flag. This is a mistake. This is a mistake. What would that one have looked like?
I talk about four red flags, four signals. The first was my father. When I turned 30 years old, I was on top of the world, married to my dream girl from the fourth grade. I had over $100 million. I was running, Samsung's data phone division. So there wasn't smartphones back then. In 1999, there was what was called convergence devices. And I had a Windows device, the world's first data phone. And so I had a significant position. I had everything I wanted, cars, planes. And my dad gave me the first birthday gift he had given me in 20 years.
Oh, wow.
And he sent me a big box, and it was a jacket. And when I opened it, I put it on, and it fit. And I started to cry. And my wife said, "Are you okay? What's the matter?" I said, "I can't believe my dad took the time to get me a custom-fitted jacket for my birthday. He never even remembers my birthday. Oh, my gosh, I'm going to reestablish a relationship with my father," which had been completely estranged. And I opened it up, and all the pockets were torn out. And I went from complete joy to rage. My wife's like, "What's the matter?" I'm like, why would he send me a jacket I can't wear? I was looking for like a specially made for my son, Armani, you know, like I was, and it was all torn. So I called him, and my dad was super excited. "Hey, did you get my birthday present? Happy birthday." I was like, "Yeah, but I can't wear it." He goes, "Well, it's not for wearing." I said, "Why would you send me a jacket that I can't wear?" He said, "It's to remind you that you're just like me." That triggered me. I'm like, "Just like you? You're a liar, a cheater, a manipulator, overseller, back-end seller. I hate you." And he said, "Son, hang the thing in the closet. You can't take anything with you when you're gone. It's to remind you that money doesn't buy you love and happiness. I made those mistakes. I don't want you to make the same mistake. I'm so worried about you." F you, and hung up on him. 6 years later, I'm running the most notable sports agency in the world. They made the movie Jerry Maguire about Lee Steinberg Sports and Entertainment. We had, which was impressive at the time, $2 billion in management in the year early 2000. That's four clients today, by the way, but it was eight first picks in the draft back then. But anyway, I'm on top of the world 6 years. I want to take my best friend, Rob, who I'd known since the fourth grade, who actually at sixth grade camp asked my wife for me because I was too much of a chicken to ask my wife to go steady. And my wife said, "No, tell him to ask me himself." And he embarrasses me. So I end up throwing an egg at my wife. And it takes me now another literally 18 years to get her to go out with me. Okay. So this guy Rob's my best friend in the world. No matter how much money I had, he was there for me. I invite him to the Masters. Sorry, I get choked up. I said, "Man, I'm going to take you to the Masters. We got the NetJet party. We're flying private. Wayne Gretzky, Warren Moon, Joe Montana. I know you love golf." And he said, "I'm not going." "What do you mean you're not going?" He goes, "Dave, I'm worried about you. I don't like who you hang out with, and I don't like what you're doing. I don't want to be around it."
Wow.
I'm like, "Rob, I'm not doing what those guys are doing. Come on, just come with me." He said, "Dave, you can lie to me. You can lie to all those sycophants out there who tell you they love you, but I love you. Stop lying to yourself. You're going to end up dead." "F you, Rob. You don't appreciate me." Broke my oldest friendship in the world. 2 weeks later, my life would change forever. I am representing a guy named Little John. He's a rapper, and he invites me to the Grammy Awards. So I asked my wife, I said, "Hey, I'm going to the Grammy Awards with John." She said, "I don't think you should go. You're not paying attention to work. You're not paying attention to your family." and you are partying way too hard. I don't need you in that situation. Just stay home. So I lied to her and I went to the Grammy Awards, changed my clothes in the car. I had this whole sophisticated plan and she knew I was freaking lying. I went up there, got wasted as usual, came home at 5:30 in the morning and she was waiting for me, the last red flag. Hmm. I walked in and she said, as she was crying, I'm not happy. I'm leaving you. You need to take stock in who you were and what you want to become or you're going to end up dead. I'm sorry. I can't, with our three daughters, they were all under 10. I can't live here anymore with you. You need to leave. And I looked at her. I remember putting my arms at my side and looking around saying, who do you think has done all of this? Who? How dare you? After everything I've done, you're going to leave me? Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Went to bed, told her to F off again. Woke up in the morning so full of hate. I hated my mom for telling me I was lost. I hated my dad for being an overseller, back-end seller, liar, cheater, manipulator. Hated my best friend, Rob. And now I hated my wife. And I sat there on the bed thinking about how I could take all their money, take all their happiness, take everything I gave them away from them. And then I looked over in my closet, and I hadn't seen it in years. Talk about a signal. There was that jacket that my dad gave me. I broke down, and I thought to myself, I don't hate my mom. I don't hate my dad. I don't hate my best friend, Rob, and I certainly don't hate my wife. I hated myself. I am a liar. I am a cheater, a manipulator, overseller, back-end seller. And I took stock in who I was and what I wanted to become. And luckily, my wife stayed with me, told me as long as I tried, she knew that I wasn't perfect and there would be slips. But as long as she knew I was putting my intention, my positive intention into it, that I would be fine and she would stay with me. And that's what I did. And then when I learned about that, which ended up landing me the chairman of Napoleon Hill Institute, the chief chancellor of Junior Achievement University, the seventh largest charity in the world. We've been nominated 3 years in a row. Talk about mission. 3 years in a row, we've been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. Unstoppable Foundation chairman. All of these things, instead of telling people I'm going to be happy when I make my next 100 million, I tell people, for the sake of what am I living? For the sake of other people, to empower other people, to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun. Because I've never met anyone who makes a lot of money for the sake of helping others and has fun with it that isn't happy.
That's so inspiring and so touching. I actually wasn't prepared to have my
wasn't on the bio, was it?
No, it was not. Thank you so much.
Enough
for
to
sharing.
Make even a Bulgarian woman cry.
Yeah,
that's not easy.
Which is very tough indeed. Wow, it's incredible. It's such an incredible story.
Thank you.
Again, when I think of your story and everything that you just shared, I just, as a mom, I also have two girls. They're
Congrats.
Young, they're 2 and 5. And I think of, again, the example that I set as a parent and as a human as well in the world. How did you feel at the moment when you felt like the world was kind of slipping under you?
Yeah, the day that I actually felt the world was slipping under me is when I claimed bankruptcy. My greatest fear was to lose everything. I grew up poor, just wanted to be rich to buy my mom a house and a car. And my greatest fear would be that I would lose everything and everybody would know as a fraud. And so the day came that I lost over $100 million and claimed bankruptcy. But not only did I have to tell my mom that I lost everything, but I lost her house. I didn't take my name off of her title. So she lost her house. She had to move. So when I went to her door, I couldn't speak. I was like a 4-year-old, like one of your kids when they get really upset. You, what's the matter? That was me. And she answered the door and she said, oh my God, are you okay? Is Julie okay? Are the kids okay? Yeah, mom. Tell me what's the matter. I'm like, mom, I lost everything. You need to move. I lost your home. She's like, oh, do you need money?
Oh, that's.
And I was like, mom, I don't think you heard me. I lost your home. You need to move. Oh, sweetheart, I heard you. What can I do to help you?
Oh.
I said, mom, help me. God can't even help me. Why is God punishing me? And she said, oh, God doesn't punish anyone. He's protecting you. He's promoting you. He's loving you. He's perfecting you. It's time for you to figure out why and how. This is an opportunity for you to regain your faith on what your life is here for. Mom, I don't believe in God. She smirked at me. She's very religious. She said, oh, you believe in God. You just believe in the wrong God. And I want you to go home and find how this is going to fix you. Don't worry about me. I've always been okay. I know you wanted to buy me a house. It means nothing to me. And so once again, that is where the paradigm shift for me, because I always sought help. I always was generous and giving and kind and all the things that I watched my mom be. But the one thing that I lacked my entire life until that day was faith. Whenever the evidence wasn't there or the evidence was contrary to where I wanted to be, I was in charge. I was in control. I was accountable. I was being punished. I was a victim. And now I incorporated faith into my life. So I believe, and I believe everyone should believe in whatever your religious beliefs, philosophical, theoretical, spiritual beliefs are, that you need to believe in something bigger than you, an omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing source, something your God, not mine, your God, that's protecting, promoting, love, and perfecting. So when there's no evidence or the evidence is contrary to where you want to be, you can seek the light, the love, and the lessons through gratitude. You can forgive yourself. You can be accountable and learn, what did I do to be responsible to attract this? What did I do to participate in the perception? And what am I supposed to learn from it? So you can live inspired. You know, most people, I have one of the biggest coaching businesses in the world. Most people ask me one question. I got to find my why, Mr. Meltzer. I don't have a purpose. I need to find my why. And I said, let's start there. Let's apply your why, because it's already there. You don't need to find it. See, I wake up every day and say, I am. I am happy. I am healthy. I am wealthy. I am worthy. What am I doing to interfere with it? Because I believe in God. I believe that I'm protected and promoted. So if I don't see the evidence or the evidence is contrary to where I want to be or better, I'm just interfering with it and I just have to figure it out. But I have, and I know that the wisdom I seek and the faith that I have will shorten the distance of resistance, the interference between me and the infinite, omniscient, all-powerful. You know, I have professional athletes that will shadow me. I make them meet me at 4 a.m. at my house until 5 p.m. They shadow me the whole day. All I ask them is for questions and suggestions. That's the only price they pay. By 4 o'clock, invariably, and these are some of the best athletes in the world. These are current athletes, not old men like me. By 4 p.m., they're sleeping in the backseat of my car or taking a nap on the couch in my office. And then I'll wake them. I'm like, dude, we got to go. We got an hour left. I want to have a takeaway of the day session with you. How the hell do you have so much energy? You're 58 years old. You're not as strong as me, fast as me, as young as me. How can you do this? And I said, it's simple. If you were accessing as much energy as me, you'd be able to handle it better because you are younger, faster, stronger, and in better shape than me. But the problem is you're not even using your body effectively because you're interfering with the infinite amount of energy, intuition, intelligence, and inspiration that we have. So let me teach you how to shorten the distance of resistance. Let me teach you how to stop interfering with your potential. And let's use that body while it's young, strong, and fast. Instead of thinking, because I'm using samples of intermittent use of those muscles in a 40-minute period on a basketball court, compared to Dave Meltzer, who uses it 24 hours a day, including when he sleeps. Including when I sleep. I'm the most intentional sleeper. I'm going to be in the Hall of Fame for sleep. That's my goal. Third of my life, I'm better than everybody else, more efficient, effective, and statistically successful. I've had a sleep coach for literally 18 years.
Wow.
And, you know, it's not like football. I played college football as a below average college football player. There's no 58-year-old that's a better football player than when he was 28. But there's absolutely 90-year-olds that can be better sleepers than 28-year-olds.
I need
to. And I met one, by the way, thanks to Richard Dolan, a multi-billionaire. This guy was 94. He had more energy than some of these basketball players that follow me around.
I definitely need the information of the sleep coach, especially as a tired toddler mom.
Oh, yes, you do. That's the challenging time.
So is sleep, now that you mentioned sleep and you mentioned obviously energy and God, I find these topics obviously incredibly interesting and very intertwined in a way. So God doesn't necessarily mean religion. It
Correct.
Could mean spirituality.
Correct.
Because
or theory or philosophy.
Right. And then energy is something that you regain through sleep, right? So you don't regain
energy, you access the energy that's already there, right? So while you sleep, one of the interesting things that I do is I have non-negotiable time. And the number one non-negotiable, the most time I spend, which means no matter what the circumstances are, mm-hmm. I'm going to spend a minimum amount of this time on my sleep, my health, my family, my faith, my finance, the study of time and the study of relativity, the meaning of time. So sleep has two purposes. One is recovery. Not of the energy, recover the body, mind, and soul to mm-hmm. handle the energy tomorrow. And it's for access. This is where most people don't understand. When you sleep, if you sleep properly, I have an unwinding routine, so my tomorrow starts tonight. I unwind. I put my mind, body, and soul in a position to recover because everybody knows, especially athletes, those people that recover better mm-hmm. perform better. Those people that recover better perform better. So I'm going to recover better than everyone. And two, I'm accessing information. What's information? It's inspiration, intelligence, and intuition materialize in form. It's materialize, money, inform, information, in motion. It's just like emotions, energy, emotion. So I'm an expert at recovery and access. And I'm accessing information. Why? So that I'm plateauing and growing every single day. Most people live the myth of Sisyphus. If you read Camus, The Stranger, push a boulder to the top of the hill every day and have it roll down the next day. Or they believe in the extra milers, right? This one blows my mind. They don't understand how this idea of shifting a paradigm that I'm already there. What am I doing to interfere with it? I already am. What am I doing to interfere with it? If you think about this idea, we just need to create this information while we sleep and plateau and grow by, you know, giving this awareness to the day of intuition, intelligence, and inspiration.
Wow.
And so many people don't recover well. Think about this. If you're running as a mom, and this is usually typical because I know what it's like to have, you know, three daughters under 10 at one time and then four kids at one time. If you're running at 50% because you're not recovering properly or accessing information, but you're twice as talented as I am, but I'm running at 90%, right? I'm actually more productive, accessible, and gracious than you. I'm actually more successful. So I actually beat the odds in extra milers. What do? They go the extra mile every once in a while. And then they use that to justify why they don't get where they are. Oh, I work 16 hours. I'll give you a good example compared to an empty miler that does it every single day for a minimum of 10 minutes. 2 minutes a day is worth more than 2 hours on a Saturday. So talk about productivity, accessibility, and gratitude. As I kind of finish up before our last question, Spanish. I've never met a kid who studies Spanish 15 minutes a day that doesn't get an A. It's impossible. Any kid that studies 15 minutes a day, Spanish or math, they'll get an A. You know how many kids I meet that study 15 hours before the test and don't get A's? Almost all of them. Mm-hmm. Almost all of them. Because that's the difference between an extra miler and an empty miler. There's no competition when you're consistent and persistent because it's counter to human experience, counter to human nature to do something every day. The human experience hates doing shit every single day. So you have to learn to love what you don't like or love about what you love to do it every day. And so for me, I teach people how to have non-negotiable and negotiable behavior, how to be consistent every day, persistent without quit in the pursuit of their potential, what they want, not what's missing, not what they don't have, not what social media says you want, but what they want. Their definiteness of purpose, and they know what they want, who they can help, who can help them, how to get it done, learning to prioritize by what's important, by knowing what's important, and then applying their why. by seeing what am I doing to interfere with what's already in existence, the infinite intelligence, intuition, inspiration. It's an amazing mathematical equation of what I pay attention to and what I give intention to by doing, saying, thinking, feeling, and believing equals the coincidences, the coinciding of the universe.
Wow. And where does the study of relativity, which you just mentioned earlier, where does that sit?
What is relativity? Relativity's meaning. God gave us a power. You give meaning to everything you see. This idea of made from mistakes is about the thing that limits all human beings, the meaning they give the past, the failures, the setbacks, the mistakes, the defining moments, even the historical relevances. If you're not aligning the meaning of your past, if you're not taking the mistakes and realizing I'm made from these mistakes, I'm going to align it with my divine direction, you will limit not only your imagination, but you will limit your self-image, and you never will overachieve your own self-image. And so many people give the wrong meaning to the mistakes of their past, the failures, the setbacks, the defining moments. They give the wrong meaning to it. When it's so easy to say, I went bankrupt. What is the meaning of my bankruptcy? For me, it saved my life, saved my marriage, and made me who I am. I'm made from that mistake. And I can't tell you how many people I coach, mentor, and teach that have the same mistakes that I have, and they feel punished the same way I did. And the meaning they give it is my life is over. I'm depressed. I'm anxious. I'm never going to get there. I'm limiting who God has made me in his image of. I am literally limiting my God-like image. And so I never get there. And so my mission in life is to teach people pragmatic frameworks, these five daily practices, the values of gratitude and forgiveness and accountability and effective communication, and an execution model of what to do every day to be made from mistakes, to stop limiting ourselves and live up to our potential, not what's missing, not what we don't have, not what exists in the past, but what is presently available to us, which is an infinite amount of what? Inspiration, intelligence, and intuition that we can create information from.
I am so touched by everything you've said, and I very much appreciate all the words of wisdom. And again, I wish that Peter was here with us.
We'll do it again.
We'll have to do it again. Before we wrap up, I wanted to ask if there was one signal or one thing that you could redo all over again, that was maybe like a very clear thing you could have redone and could have saved you from many mistakes, what would have that been?
Sure. Before I do that, I want to offer your entire community, I want to give them my book for free. So if they email me directly, david@dmeltzer.com, David means beloved, at D is my first initial, Meltzer is servant. So email david@dmeltzer.com. I will sign, send, pay for shipping, and pay for the book for anyone in your community that wants on my mission to empower others. But the number one signal is actually a repetitive mistake that I made, but it was critical in losing everything and almost my wife, is three simple words. Ask for help. See, I thought humility existed in the fact that I was able and capable of helping others. What I didn't realize is when I received and asked for help, that I was allowing other people to be able and capable of helping me. And when we're able and capable of helping people, we're closest to God. We're at our highest self. And so I wish I didn't cheat so many of the amazing people that were around me by not asking for help, who were more than happy to help me. People who sit in a position that I wanted to be in, people that already paid the dummy tax that I was about to pay. So if I could encourage anyone, please email me, david@dmeltzer.com, for my book to help guide you through the values, practices, and execution. But even if you don't request the book, please ask for help. It's the greatest gift you can give somebody, is asking them for help. Allow them to be able and capable of helping you, and they'll be at their highest self. They'll be closest to God. And that's what I want for you. You will make a lot of money, help a lot of people yourself, and have a lot of fun. And I promise if you do that, you'll be happy.
David, thank you so much for being here with us today. What an interview. What an honor.